Welcome to another inspirational message courtesy of BibleCities.com. For more teachings like this and other free Christian resources, please visit our website at www.BibleCities.com. Now let's join Reverend Slide Moran as he delivers another powerful teaching from the Word of God.
Take your Bible, hold it up, and say this. This is my Bible.
It's God's word to me.
I am what it says I am. I have
what it says I have.
I can do
what it says I can do.
Today, God will speak to me through this word by His Spirit. I'll believe it. I'll receive it. I'll understand it. And I'll do it. And my life will never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's true. All of it's true. If you'll just go ahead and do it, if we'll just go ahead and take the Word of God and do what the Word of God says to do, the way the Word of God says to do it, we'll have what God says the Word promises if we'll just do what the Word of God says, the way the Word of God says to do it. You know, I had my Bible for many years as a Christian, and I knew much of what was in there. I just didn't believe a whole lot of it, even though I believed that God said it. You understand, there is a difference between believing that God said it and believing what God said. Do you understand that there is a difference between believing that God said it and believing what God said? Amen. And I was one of those that believed that God said it, but didn't believe much of what God said. So I didn't do what the Word said the way the Word said to do it. I did what I thought I should do in regards to my opinion of the Word. And I got exactly what Jesus said I would get. Nothing. Nothing. Well, didn't Jesus tell the scribes and the Pharisees when they were giving him a hard time about some things, and he said, well, now you go ahead and take the word and make it of no effect in your life because you teach as doctrine the traditions and the commandments and opinions and ideas of men. You've gone ahead and taken the word and put your spin on it, and now it's not working for you and you don't know why. And you're all mad at me and all mad at God, and you're mad at anybody who comes along and tries to tell you differently. And then he said this. He said, you don't enter in, and then you hinder those that are trying to enter in. Why? Because whenever somebody came along and starts talking the word about them, they got all mad about it. Who are you to talk to us about the word? We are the priests. We are the religious leaders of the day. We have the religious mind here. Well, the last thing we want is a religious mind. Well, the last thing we want is a religious mind. God never told us to get a religious mind. He told us to renew our mind, not to have a religious mind. There's a whole lot of religious minds that need to be renewed to the Word of God. Most of those religious minds are in church. It's the truth. Amen. And we need to see some things about the truth of God. Amen. We need to know and understand some things. And we started talking last week about a subject that, as I said, I was going to teach something else, but the Lord directed me to go this direction. Praise God. We follow God. Not a program. Amen. I can open up, you know, the book on classic sermons throughout history and everything. And if the Lord says to go ahead and open up that book on classic sermons throughout history and teach one of those, I will. But if He doesn't, I won't. And you know He hasn't said for me to do that yet. Good books, though. Glory to God. There's some good classic sermons out there. But you know, I would rather preach from revelation than from information. I'd rather preach something that God has given me revelation on than just something I read that God gave revelation to somebody else on. Because, you see, if I'm just going to preach what somebody else said, I might as well just give you the book and let you read it. Amen. But we found out and started talking about last week about the fact that in every Christian's life, there are tests, there are trials, there are troubles, there are afflictions that come against us. And we have some great promises. We've got the promise of Romans chapter 8, starting around the 37th verse, that tells us that we are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. We're more than conquerors. Glory to God. We're more than conquerors. We know from 1 Corinthians 10:13 that God says that when these tests and these trials come against us, that He provides us a means of escape. Hallelujah. We have a way of escape. Glory to God. We know from the Word of God in 2 Corinthians 2:14 that the Word of God tells us that He always causes us to triumph in Christ, doesn't He? Always causes us to triumph. Hallelujah. And that word is always. Not sometimes. Always causes us to triumph in Christ. We know from 1 John where the Word of God tells us that whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? And those are good promises. Aren't they? The trouble is that most Christians don't experience that. Most Christians in their life, instead of being overcomers, they are really undergoers. Isn't that right? They are. When something comes against them and comes over them, instead of overcoming that, they end up really beaten up under it. Amen. They do. Because they don't know how to overcome it. Even though the Word of God tells us that we always triumph, you understand that triumph is the opposite of defeat. Amen. And we have that promise. Praise God. God always causes me to triumph. But in most Christians' life, that's not how the Scripture works. Not for them. In most Christians' life, it's sometimes. Sometimes I win. Most of the times, I'm defeated. This is why they're broke. This is why they lose their homes. They lose their cars. They lose their businesses. And many often, if they don't lose their health, they lose their life prematurely. This is true. If we don't know how to overcome sickness and disease, infirmity when it comes against us, if we don't know how to do it, eventually that thing will kill us. Amen. That's a hard statement, isn't it? But if we don't know how to overcome it, eventually it will kill us, either the thing itself or the complications that arise from that thing. It will kill us. And we need to know that. As a matter of fact, when I was dealing with that heart condition, the Lord told me right out, if you don't deal with this thing, you're going to deal with this for the rest of your life. And I knew all of the things that would go along with that. And I had a vision of vials of prescriptions. You ever been in a house where you've seen somebody's counter where somebody was sick? And it was just loaded, and they had all these prescriptions to deal with the symptoms and the disease that they were facing. And then over on this portion of the counter were more prescriptions that were to deal with the side effects of those prescriptions. And then over here were even more prescriptions that were really pretty much to counteract both of them. When it was all done, they could usually not get out of their chair and ended up in the grave sooner than later. Well, now that should not be the way it is for a Christian. That's not the way it's supposed to be. When we find ourselves in a position of financial lack or debt, if we don't know how to overcome that thing, eventually that thing will overcome us. And do you know most Christians don't know how to overcome it? And most Christians, most people in this country anyway, instead of overcoming their debt, get more and more into debt. They actually have come up with the idea in this country that the way to get out of debt is to spend more money and borrow more money. That's how you get out of debt. Our own government practices that. And the world practices that. And it has seeped into the church. And the church literally believes that the way to get out of debt is to borrow and spend. Did you know that I needed the Holy Ghost to tell me that was a lie? I don't know why. Common sense should have told me that. But I needed the Holy Ghost to tell me. If the Holy Ghost one day said, you know, as long as you keep borrowing, you'll be in debt. Did you know that was a revelation to me? I didn't know that the more I kept borrowing or the longer I kept borrowing, I'd still be in debt. I didn't know that. I really thought I would get... We used to think that we could get out of debt that way. Look, and here's what to do. Okay, you owe this much on your credit cards. Consolidate it by getting this credit. We'll give you more money that you can spend. So consolidate it over here. Take the $10,000... Oh, if only it was only $10,000 in our case. But take the $10,000 and put it on that card, and we'll give you $15,000. Okay, that's how we get out of debt. Honey, we can take and consolidate all these credit cards and put it on this one, and we'll have $5,000 more to spend. And so then we would do that. And then not much longer, when that card got up to $15,000, the bank would say to again, here's what to do now. We'll let you consolidate that debt. Take that $15,000 and put it on this card, which is $20,000. And so you can consolidate all your debt. This will help you get out of debt. Well, see, now we found out that finally the Holy Ghost said, don't you understand? By the time we got to almost $70,000, don't you understand that you're just going farther into debt? And, you know, our answer was, well, no, we didn't understand that. Really? Even though we could see the bills and we couldn't pay them. Folks think this way. See, we didn't know how to overcome it. Amen. And it's the same thing with people that have addictions and things that we need deliverance from. If folks don't know how to overcome it, that thing will eventually just stay with you and get worse. Yeah. Amen. It's like a little cat, a little kitten. You know, you get a little kitten. You may not want a cat. That little kitten comes up to your door and you feel so sorry for it because it's so cute and it's so snuggly and everything. And so you put out that saucer of milk every day and you wonder why that cat keeps coming back. Stop feeding the cat. That cat will go away. And even though you may say, I don't want a cat, and you may think you don't have a cat, if you're feeding that cat, you got a cat. That's just the way it is. Amen? And so we found out that in the life of a Christian, tests, trials, troubles, tribulations, and afflictions will come. They will come. We took almost an hour last time talking about all of the places where the Word of God tells us that these things will come. They will come. Just because we're born again, going to church every Sunday, giving our offerings, singing in the choir, cleaning the church bathrooms afterwards, donating to the poor, never saying a bad word about anybody, those things will still come. They'll still come. Amen. They will. Filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, and they still come. Because God said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. All those that would live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. In this world, you will have trouble. You will have troubles. You will. Not you might. He said you will. You will. You will. Amen. Tests, trials, troubles, tribulations. And we need to know how to overcome these things. But before we can know how to overcome these things, we need to first realize and recognize that these things do come. But did you know that most Christians, when these things come, did you know that most Christians are surprised? They're shocked. As a matter of fact, many of the calls and many of the letters that I get start out with, I don't understand. I can't believe this. They're shocked. They're surprised at it. They don't know. Now, you understand that for us to enlist into the military and then be surprised when we find ourselves in war, you understand that there's something wrong with our mental capacity, right? We'd be having some thinking processes going wrong there, right? If we're going to decide that we're going to have a career as a soldier and then be surprised when we find ourselves in a combat situation, there's something wrong with us. Amen. To understand that the Word of God tells us that in this world as Christians we're going to have trouble, for us to be surprised that when trouble comes, there's something wrong with us. And did you know that if we don't realize and recognize the fact that trouble will come, then we will not prepare ourselves for that trouble when it comes. And Jesus told us in Luke, as a matter of fact, He told us to watch. And be prepared, because He said that day will come. And He said if you're not prepared for it, it will come on you like a trap. Remember that in Luke chapter 21? He said that evil day will come. It will come to everybody. It says it'll come to all those that are on the face of the earth. So He said watch therefore and pray. In other words, be alert. And doesn't the Word of God tell us to be sober, to be alert, because your adversary, the devil, goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking to devour whom he will? Now, you know, sober means to be clear-minded. Think clearly. To be sober. To think clearly. And alert. In other words, be watchful. Keep your eyes open. In other words, think clearly. And keep your eyes open, because you have an enemy that is going to come against you, because there are things that are going to come against you. Think clearly about this now. Well, you know, for some folks that live down in the southeast, like, for example, along Florida, Louisiana, and so forth, there's hurricanes down there. And, you know, they think clearly when a hurricane warning comes. They do a number of things. Either, first of all, you get out of town. Let's leave. Many of them, even before they go, they will board up their places. You understand? They're preparing for what's coming. Is that right? Amen. They know something is coming, and they're preparing for it. They realize it. Folks that live in the tornado belt, they go ahead and they've got underground shelters, bunkers, or they got basements, things like that that they can get into. You understand? So that when the tornado warning comes, they know where to go. I don't know about you, but when I was in school, which seems like an eternity ago, but during that time, this country was going through the Cold War. And back in the 50s and 60s, we used to have air raid drills in the schools. And the air raid drills would go off, and what we were all supposed to do, we'd all get under our desks and we learned, or we'd get out in the hall and we'd put, you know, our heads down, you know, and cover them with our arms. Because, you know, if there's a nuclear blast, you know you're going to be safe under that desk. And certainly your arm will protect you from any 10,000-pound roof that falls on your head. Well, you understand, but the point is they would prepare you. Do you understand this? When folks know and they hear that there's going to be a food shortage, what's the first thing they do? They go out and go shopping and store up food, right? You understand that we're supposed to think clearly, but when it comes to Christians and tests, trials, troubles, and afflictions, they don't think clearly about this whole thing. Listen, Jesus said these things are going to come against you. Yeah, I'm fine. No need to prepare. Jesus is my Savior. What's that song? I will survive. No, you won't. You probably won't make it. We need to know about these things. We need to think clearly. Amen. But most Christians, when these things come, they're surprised. But Pastor, I don't understand this. I mean, and then they'll go ahead and spend 20 minutes telling me, you know, why this thing should not be on him. Do you know that the devil could care less about how holy and righteous you may be? He's an outlaw. And a liar and a deceiver. Amen. And the Word of God tells us specifically that all those that would live godly will suffer persecution. Which means the more godly we live, the more persecution is probably going to come. Now somebody might be thinking, well then why bother? I'll just go ahead and live ungodly. No. Because there's consequences for that too. At least if you live in godly, there's a way of escape. There is deliverance. Remember that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Now, many are the afflictions of the ungodly, too. And while there is deliverance available, they don't have any idea how to take it. Now, the truth is that when it comes to Christians, we need to know what the Word of God says about this. And when I first started preparing this message, I thought it was going to be a one-day thing. So as I was just getting my notes together, which I thought I could just probably teach in an hour, maybe two, I found out that there's probably 11 or 12 weeks worth of it. Because we don't want to go through this too quickly. We need to know how to overcome these things. Just knowing that they come, that doesn't help us if we don't know how to overcome them. Is that right? I mean, for me, for example, for me to tell you as a soldier and say, listen, you're going into battle. They've got all kinds of small caliber, large caliber weapons. They've got howitzers and 2,000-pound bombs and aircrafts and everything else. Good luck. You know, well, that's not going to help me much. What do I have? You know, how am I supposed to overcome this thing? Give me some information, will you? Because I need some help about the whole thing. Praise God. Amen. And so we're looking in the Word of God to see what we need to see and know what we need to know so that when these things come against us, and how many of you know that there's things coming against every person in the world and in this country today? And the prognosis is not good. It's not good from the commentators. It's not good from the prognosticators. It's not good from the pundits. And even the Word of God says it's not good for the world. Amen? That's why the Word of God tells us to prepare ourselves and to watch and pray so that we can escape these things. Well, how do we prepare ourselves? Well, by building ourselves up in the Word of God. Amen? If we have the Word, we know that the Word is our deliverance. The Word is our safety. The Word of God tells us, He said, He sent His Word and healed us. His Word, the Word of God, tells us that He provides everything we need through His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, which is the Word of God. Our answers are in the Word of God. We're to prepare ourselves and be strong and established and rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And if we're not, the Word of God says, compares that individual to the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the storm did come, and it did beat upon the house, and it says that house fell, and great was the fall of it. So we want to make sure that we, our lives, our thoughts, our actions, our beliefs, our words are all rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Amen? Because that's where our answers are. Amen? So if you would just turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. In the King James, it says this. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Well, now, take a look at verse 13. Rejoice, glad, exceeding joy. Rejoice, be glad, and have exceeding joy. How many of you are rejoicing, are glad, and have exceeding joy when the fiery trial comes? Truthfully. How many of you react that way? Now, speaking to you, I know everybody in this place, that's how you react. But I'm talking to the people that are out there that will hear the CD or perhaps listen to it online. Because I know nobody here would ever allow themselves to become downcast, would allow themselves to be affected, would allow their countenance to change, would allow themselves to get bummed out. I know nobody here would, because the Word of God tells us that our solution, the deliverance, is going to lie in us rejoicing, being glad, and exceedingly joyful. And you know, I could say that 10,000 times, and did you know that most Christians will not ever get that? Because they don't see any reason to be glad, to rejoice, and have exceeding joy. They just don't. After all, we're going through this trial. Everything stinks. But let's go back in one verse. Verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Now, here is the Holy Ghost speaking through Peter to the church. And he tells us there is a fiery trial which is going to try us. This is what God said. There is a fiery trial. Do you understand that fire burns? Now, you know, fire can do one of two things. It can consume you, or it can purge you, purify you. One of two things. All depends upon how you respond. But the Word of God tells us, don't think it's strange concerning this thing, as though it was some strange thing. Well, I don't understand this. This is just so strange. See, that's what people think. I don't understand this. Well, it tells us, don't think it's strange. Can I read a couple other versions? The God's Word version says this, dear friends, don't be surprised by the fiery troubles that are coming in order to test you. Now, how many Christians are surprised when the troubles come? Most. But the Word of God tells us, don't be surprised. But how many Christians are surprised when the trouble comes? Most. But the Word of God tells us, don't be surprised. But how many Christians are surprised? I like the way it says in the Contemporary English Version, it says this, don't be surprised or shocked. But most Christians are surprised and shocked. I'm shocked. I'm shocked at this. I didn't see this coming. Why? Jesus said, it is. It would. And it's coming on you. Amen. Yes, but I've been trying to live my life. I go to church and I do this and I give and we do and blah, 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 blah. What's that got to do with anything other than the fact you're just doing what you're supposed to do and you got an enemy that hates you? Amen. Not to mention your boss, the people at work in the world. Amen. The one that doesn't hate you, by the way, is your pastor. He doesn't hate you. God doesn't hate you. And the folks in your church shouldn't hate you either. Amen. Your husband shouldn't hate you. Your wife shouldn't hate you. Amen. And you shouldn't hate them. Amen. Praise God. Dear brethren, don't be surprised as if it was something strange or uncommon. Amen. Amplify says it this. Don't be amazed or bewildered. Don't be amazed or bewildered. Don't be amazed or bewildered. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. I want to make sure that this is clear to you. Because if you're bewildered, if you're confused, if you're shocked, if you're surprised, then you're probably not prepared. Amen. Because you understand, those that are aware of the fact that these things come, the wise people will prepare themselves for it. You understand how foolish it would be for us to realize that I'm going to go through some afflictions. And Jesus said there's going to be some troubles and some tests and some trials. But so what? You, that would be a foolish person, right? If the Word of God tells us that there's going to be tests and trials and troubles and tribulations and afflictions, which the Word of God does tell us that there's going to be tests, trials, troubles, tribulations, and afflictions, and we don't do anything to prepare ourselves, well, now, how dumb is that? I mean, how dumb is that? That's just dumb. But yet Christians are surprised and shocked and bewildered and amazed and confused about the whole thing. And so they come, and the result is, more often than not, they're not prepared. Amen. Let me just say this to you. You've heard me say this before. The time to build your house is not during a hurricane. That is not the time to build your house. The time to build your house is before the hurricane. And build it well. Because if you build the house or try to build the house during the hurricane, first thing is you may have a little trouble. Second thing is you are definitely going to get wet. You're going to get wet. And that's all there is to it. If you don't want to get wet, build your house early. Prepare yourself. Amen. Do you understand that if we were to prepare ourselves to begin with, we could avoid a lot of these things? Did you know that? If we prepare ourselves, I don't know about you, but I discovered, you know, it's kind of like the person who loses their temper and ends up, you know, hauling off and wailing on somebody, and they say, well, I just couldn't control myself, couldn't help myself. And, you know, I need to ask that person a real question. Yeah, well, if that person whom you couldn't control yourself over was, say, a 300-pound NFL linebacker, you think you could control yourself then? And the answer usually is yes. Well, you know, there's a big difference between beating up on a 100-pound little person and a 300-pound linebacker. People have a lot more self-control when they're facing somebody who can beat the tar out of them. Amen? Well, you understand that that linebacker prepared himself. You know, fighters, before they get in the ring, they prepare themselves. And there's a lot of folks that aren't going to mess with a 300-pound linebacker or somebody who's a professional boxer because they know this guy is going to hurt me, right? So that guy avoids a whole lot of trouble. Well, it's the same thing with Christians. If we would prepare ourselves, you know, there's a whole lot of little imps and demons and little things out there, and folks aren't going to, they're not going to be bothering with you because they know, why bother? It's a waste of my time. So you can avoid a lot of things. Amen. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. Don't be bewildered. Don't be amazed. Don't be confused about the whole thing. Understand this and prepare ourselves. Amen. We need to be prepared for these things, right? Now, regarding the subject as far as where the trouble comes from or who's responsible, that's really not the focus of what we're going to talk about. But it needs to be said that more often than not, truthfully, in the lives of many Christians, we are the primary cause for many of our problems. If we would prepare ourselves and understand some things about this and about this subject, we can avoid a whole lot of things. I mean, turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look how to avoid some of these things. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'd rather avoid it. I mean, you know, I'm able to take care of myself. I took martial arts at one point. But one thing I learned about when you get into a scuffle, and anybody who's ever been in a scuffle knows this, you are bound to take at least one shot. I mean, you're going to get hit. Now, that's all there is to it. That's the way it is. Doesn't matter how good you are. Doesn't matter how prepared you are. You're probably going to have at least one kick or punch is going to land on you. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather not have any land on me. I'd rather not even get into the fight. And so one thing I did learn is that no matter what, best thing for me to always do is just try to walk away from it, get the thing calmed down, avoid the thing if possible. Avoid it. And sometimes, well, you know, you skinny little coward, rah, rah. Yeah, whatever. You know, I don't have to prove myself to anybody. I'd rather not get hit. Even if I beat the tar out of you, I don't want to walk away with a bloody anything. You know, I don't feel any better because you're more bloody than me. I don't want to be bloody at all. You know, that's my goal. Be not bloody. That's my goal. Amen. And it should be yours too. I don't want to get bloody. And why get bloody if you don't have to? Amen. Now are you in Ephesians chapter 4? Let's read something. Verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. Actually, let's look verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And don't give place to the devil. Now let's just read this again. Let me read it out of the NIV. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold in your life. Well, what is a good way to keep the devil from getting a foothold in our life, according to this scripture? Do not allow yourself to get angry to where you sin. Do you understand that there are some things that we can get angry about and not sin? You understand I get angry at the devil? I can get angry at him. I get angry when I see folks that are being beat up and stuff. But that doesn't cause me to sin. There are certain things that we can hate. The Word of God tells us to hate sin. Not people, but sin. We don't hate people. We can hate the sin and still love the person. Do you understand that God hates sin, but He loves people? Amen? Well, we can love people and hate sin too. Amen? And the Word of God tells us right here, even if we look up farther, verse 25, it says, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. And don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Best thing to do is not to get angry at all. Amen. And do not give the devil a foothold. The Word of God tells us that where strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Well, now who opened the door? Well, now, who opened the door? If there's confusion and every evil work, who opened the door? We did. We can't blame the devil. Don't blame the devil. He didn't get mad. We did. Amen. He didn't get into strife. We did. Amen. Don't allow these things. See, the Word of God tells us that we need to understand that there are tests, there are trials, there are troubles, there are tribulations, there's afflictions that are coming, that are going to come against us. They're going to come against us. What we do when they come is going to determine whether we escape. Hello, friends. This is Reverend Slide Moran, and I hope that you've enjoyed the message so far. We'll return to it in just a moment, but before we do, did you know that it's because of the generous offerings from folks just like you that enables us to provide these messages to you and to others all throughout the world for free? Friend, I know that you love God and that you're seeking, just as we are, to spread the gospel. So won't you consider helping us as we continue to fulfill the Lord's command to preach the gospel to all the earth? No offering is too small, and every dollar helps us to reach more and more people. So whether you wish to become a regular partner or just a one-time love offering, I want you to know that every single dollar helps. No amount is too small. You can send your offering online by visiting our partner page. Just go to www.BibleCities.com and click the donate button. You can even send your love offering by mail to Bible Cities Christian Fellowship, P.O. Box 40, Gettysville, New York, 14068 in the USA. Our mailing address can also be found in the BibleCities.com partner section. Just click the link that says donate by check or money order. Thank you for your love and your generosity, and may God richly reward you for your faithful obedience. Now, let's get back to the message. See, the Word of God tells us that we need to understand that there are tests, there are trials, there are troubles, there are tribulations, there's afflictions that are coming, that are going to come against us. What we do when they come is going to determine whether we escape. I was used to be one of the angriest young men you ever want to meet. And I found myself in jail a lot because of it. Well, now, whose fault was that? That was the devil's. No, it wasn't. I was the one that would turn around and sock you in the eye if I didn't like the way you looked at me or the thing you said. I was the one that would take a baseball bat to you. I was the one that would do that. I was the one that would get out of my car and chase you five blocks. And I would, and I've done that. Stop the car and chase you until I got you, and then I'd beat you. Amen. That's the truth. You couldn't get away from me. Oh, I was mad. I got tired of going to jail for being mad too. But it's the truth. Don't get angry. Don't ever say to yourself, well, I couldn't control myself. You could do. You chose to get angry. You chose to allow that thing to bug you. You chose to. I know because I did. I chose to. I'd get mad about things that I didn't even need to get mad at because I chose to. It was my decision. Well, I didn't mean that. And they really didn't mean that. That didn't matter to me. I'm going to be mad. I have decided I'm going to be mad at you. That's my decision. I'm going to be mad about this whole thing. And I'm going to stay mad until I'm done being mad. Come on, have we? And now, am I the only one who's ever done that? I'm going to get mad and I'm going to stay mad until I'm done being mad. I'm not done being mad yet. Whatever you did or said, it is not sufficient for me to be mad just for 5 minutes. I've got to be mad at least for 2 days. Isn't that right? Or 20 more minutes. Is that right? You know how stupid that is? That's just stupid. Now, we've all done it. And the Word of God tells us that that opens up the door to the enemy in our life. We just open up. Come on in. Have your way. Go ahead. Here's my body. Beat up on it. Oh, there's a pain. Lord, help me. But I'm not done being mad yet. And then you look at your checkbook and suddenly there's no money in there. And you wonder why. The Word of God says, give no place to the devil. Give no place to the devil. Well, whose fault is this? See, if we want to overcome these things, first thing is learn how not to get in them to begin with. Amen. You know, the best way to overcome something is to avoid it. You know, amen. You know, you can overcome debt by avoiding it. You can overcome an argument with somebody by just simply avoiding the argument. You know, here is the argument. It's right staring here, you right in the face, okay? And now you have the opportunity. They have said or done something now to you that can cause you to get into an argument. There it is. It's right there. Now, what you do will determine whether or not that you either overcome that argument by avoiding it or whether you respond to it, and now you're in the argument. There you are. You're in it. I'm in the argument. Now you're going to ask God to get you out of it. And He'd already told you how to avoid it, number one, and now He'll also tell you how to get out of it. Shut up. Forgive. Let it go. Defer. Submit. Humble yourself. I remember a time when I was ahead of the director of the Helps Ministry, and there was an individual that we were training. I had asked someone to go over and show the individual how to do a particular job, and that person lost it. How dare you come tell me how to do this? Let me just tell you something about being in the Helps Ministry. It's no help to us if you won't follow directions. That is not a help. If you don't do it the way we want it done, that's not a help, because now we have to go back and get it done the way we want it done. By that I mean the end result is what we want. And so this person just lost it. Just lost it. And actually was leaving the church. And not just leaving the Helps Ministry, but was going to leave the church. Because this person was actually instructed on how to do something. How dare somebody, even though the Word of God says, submit to them that have the rule over you. And do it with joy. Right? But most folks don't know how to do that. I'm going to do it my way or it's the highway for me. That's not a help. That's called the Helps Ministry, not the Hindrances Ministry. Amen? And so the person lost it, and so I went out and found out what was going on. It wasn't the person who was given the instructions fault. It was the individual who was supposed to be receiving the instructions fault. It took me everything I could do to get him back into the church to begin with. And then the person spent the next 5 minutes just yelling and crying and bawling. And I was doing everything I could, you know, to try to calm the person down. And see what I could do to get, but the person wasn't listening. The person was arguing and complaining and caterwauling and everything else and bawling and making a scene and everything else. And so we're standing in the middle of the sanctuary. But I know something. The Word of God says, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. Love never fails. Never fails. Now here's this person who had messed up in every way they possibly could have. And they were disrespecting me as a minister and as the director of the Helps Ministry. So really, by rights, under a normal circumstances, one would think that I'd say, well, just shut up and get out then. But that's not ministry. Love never fails. Amen. So you want me to tell you what I did? I fell on my face before her. That's what I did. I went down on the floor on my face before her and begged for her forgiveness. You know, that shut her up. And then from that point on, she just said, get up, don't do that, get up. I said, I'm not getting up. I'm not getting up until you forgive me and forgive, what's her name, who gave you the instructions? I'm not moving. I'll stay here till we get this right. Guess what we should do when there's an argument? Humble ourselves. Don't give place to the devil. Do you understand that here was the devil in operation? I'm not going to allow the devil to come into the church or into the ministry. Uh-uh. And the Word of God says love never fails. The Word of God says humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. It says submit yourself to God, resist the devil. Mm-hmm. Well, how do you resist the devil? By submitting yourself to God. Mm-hmm. Amen. So I just went down and just said, all right, obviously this person's upset about something. As head of the helps ministry, I'm responsible. I'll just ask for my forgiveness, that's all. And got it all cleared up. Yeah. Amen. Just got it cleared up. Did we do anything wrong? No. Didn't matter. It's not a matter of who's right or wrong. It's a matter of whether or not you want the devil in your life. That's all that matters. Do you want the devil running rampant in your life, in your body, in your family, in your business, in your finances, and everywhere else? Do you? Because if you do, stay in strife, get in your argument, be mad. Or you can avoid it all. There in Proverbs 26:2, it says this, as the sparrow in her wandering and the swallow in her flight, pay attention, so the curse does not come without a cause. Did you hear that? The curse does not come without a cause. In the NIV, I like the way it says it. It says, like the fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse will not come to rest. There are things that will try to come against us, but whether or not it's able to land on us and get a foothold will be determined by whether or not we have done something to open the door to it. Do you understand that? The Word of God tells us to give no place to the devil. Why? Because when you open the door to the devil, he will come in. And with it comes the curse. With him comes the curse. And we can give place to the curse, even though we've been redeemed of it. You understand, we've been redeemed from the curse. Yet at the same time, we can operate in the curse anytime we like. People do it all the time. People operate in the curse all the time. You understand that debt, according to Scripture, is part of the curse. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 44, says that debt is part of the curse. Do you understand that we can willingly, of our own knowledge, step into the curse anytime we want? We can do it. You understand that all of the things, all of the results of the curse, anger, bitterness, envying, strife, all of the works of the flesh, that's all under the curse. And we can operate in that at any time, even though we've been redeemed from it. Mm-hmm. But just because we've been redeemed from it doesn't mean that we can just automatically avoid it. We have to make the choice. Didn't the Word of God tell us, I set before you this day life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life. Choose the blessing. We can choose something other than the blessing. And the Word of God tells us in Proverbs 26, verse 2, it says that the curse will not rest upon us unless there's a cause. Well, who's the cause of the curse resting on us? We are. We're the ones that open the door. Amen? We are. Anger, strife, bitterness, envying, all of these things can open the door to the enemy. All of these things. I don't know about you, but you see, I came to the point where I got tired of the devil and of the curse just robbing me of my life, of my blessing, of my security, of my joy, of my happiness, of my health, of everything. I just got tired of it. I'm tired of this. I don't want this in my life anymore. Well, if we do what the Word of God says, we can have the blessing. We can have the deliverance. We can have the escape. You understand this? Because these things will come. See, it doesn't say that the curse won't come. It just says that it won't rest on us without a cause. Because you understand, we live in a world that is under the curse. It's there. But whether or not we step into it is going to be determined by what we do. Amen. How we respond, what we do. This is so important. We want to overcome these things. And so the thing for us to understand for us is to not give any place to the devil. Don't open the door to these things, because it's better to avoid them than it is to have to fight them. Not that there won't be any fights. But you know, so often people, they wonder about certain things. But just to give you some other examples. I mean, take for example something like emphysema. That's a lung affliction. Causes people, you know, great difficulty in breathing. And people die from it. Did you understand that most folks who suffer from emphysema are chronic cigarette smokers? Well, who brought that on? See, it wasn't the devil. It wasn't their boss. And even though we'd like to say so at times, it wasn't the Congress or the president. He didn't do it. Wasn't our employer. Wasn't our next door neighbor. Wasn't even our wife or our husband. I mean, if we're going to smoke cigarettes chronically, not only, as a matter of fact, will it make us susceptible to things, but it'll also make others susceptible. For example, I just heard a report from the American Medical Journal, just came out. They did this long study on cigarette smoking, and they found out ear infections. You know where they used to have to, where they put the tubes in the ears because of the chronic ear infections? They found out that over the last several years that there has been a 40% drop in infants requiring, you know, these things because of the ear infections. And then when they went in and did further study, they found out, of course, it's because of the drop in families who smoke cigarettes, yeah, who are having these children. These cigarettes, secondhand smoke, was actually causing in many of the infants these ear infections. Well, who brought that on? How many people out there smoking cigarettes asking the Lord to deliver their poor child from these ear infections, chronic ear infections, and they're the ones that are causing it to begin with? You see, we need to understand these things. Give no place to the enemy. Amen. And not to mention emphysema and lung cancer and all these things that come from it, asking to be delivered from lung cancer, but all the time smoking cigarettes. And there's people that do that. You understand now, not just regular people, but Christians. How does one become an alcoholic? How does one do that? Well, let me just say this to you. Unless you were born with fetal alcohol syndrome because of the mother that was an alcoholic and you inherited as a fetus, you became an alcoholic by drinking alcohol. You chose to. That's how you become an alcoholic, by drinking constantly, regularly, and more than you should. Amen. God will deliver you from that, but the point is who opened the door? Who's the cause? See, if we open the door to these things, then it's kind of foolish for us to be surprised when they're there. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Did you know it's the same thing with chronic debt? The truth is that the reason why most Christians are in debt to the point to where they're unable to pay their bills mainly is either a result of one or two things. Either number one, they didn't know what the Word of God taught. My wife and I were in that place. We didn't know what the Word of God said in regards to basic principles of financial responsibility and accountability. Call it good stewardship. Mm-hmm. We didn't know the principles of good stewardship. It's not that we weren't big givers, because we were. And it's not that we didn't honor God with our finances, because we did. We just didn't know good stewardship. We had no idea how to live within our means. We just didn't know. So we went out and learned some godly principles about handling finances. God taught us. Taught us out of the Word. Taught us from people. The Word of God says that there is wisdom in a multitude of counselors. You find people who know these things. They'll help you out. And so we got help. Amen. We did. Came out of it. The Word of God says there is a way of escape. But who brought the debt on? We did. You know that the devil didn't go out and charge up our credit cards? We did. We did it. And you know, the really interesting thing about it is that even when we were in debt and our credit cards were all charged up, we still went out and charged up our credit cards, even though we knew it. So the first thing is having an ignorance of the principles of God regarding good stewardship. That's one thing. That can be cured by teaching. But the other thing is just rejection of it. Because, you know, the Word of God says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge and because they've rejected knowledge. Now, it's one thing to have a lack of knowledge. That's cured by getting knowledge. But rejection of knowledge, there isn't much we can do about that if you're just going to reject it. Amen. But see, we open the door to the enemy for these kinds of things. Fear opens the door to the enemy. Did you know that? Amen. The Word of God tells us that the fear of the wicked will come upon him. Did you know that? Proverbs 10:24 says, the fear of the wicked. Do you understand what is who God considers wicked? It's not somebody who's not born again. That might surprise you. Wickedness is unbelief. Unbelief. You know, the Christians can act in wicked ways. Ever heard anybody gossip about somebody else? Another Christian? Ever heard somebody say something bad about a pastor? You understand that's wicked behavior. Ever heard a Christian wife talk poorly to her husband or vice versa? Yeah, they can act wicked. Wickedness is simply unbelief. Fear opens the door to the enemy. How do we know that? Because God said so. The fear of the wicked will come upon him. Do you understand that that's what brought all that stuff on Job? All you have to do is read it. Job said, that which I feared and that which I was greatly afraid has come upon me. It wasn't the devil that opened the door to it. It was Job that opened the door to it. God said so. But most people don't know that. They blame the devil. Yeah, the devil is the one that brought all that stuff, but it was Job that opened the door. Amen. Unbelief opens the door to the enemy. Strife opens the door to the enemy. Amen. See, these tests, these trials, these troubles, these tribulations, these afflictions, they're going to come. Just because somebody comes to my door and knocks on it, I don't have to open the door and let them in. As a matter of fact, sometimes I don't answer the door because I don't want to talk to them. I don't let them in. Did you know that you don't have to let them in either? Do you know that as a Christian, just because something comes, that doesn't mean you have to invite them in. Come on in and tear up the place. I got nothing better to do. You don't have to let strife in. You don't have to let fear and unbelief in. You don't have to. What you do when that stuff comes is going to determine whether or not you overcome or go under. Whether you let it in or not. And don't be surprised when it comes. Because we're not supposed to be surprised. And by the way, if you're the one that is opening the door to begin with, why would you be surprised when they come in? Yeah. Why, what are you doing in my living room? Mm-hmm. Well, you let me in. Mm-hmm. So? That's how Christians think. So? So what? So what if I let you in? That doesn't mean you have to come in. Well, yes, it does. The best way to overcome these things is to avoid them. Don't be surprised when you see them pop up. I mean, every one of you this week, I'm sure you're going to have the opportunity, if you haven't already, to get into strife with somebody or to get mad at somebody. Every one of you. You know how I know? Because we're talking about it. That's how I know. Every one of you is going to have the opportunity. Devil's going to come knocking at your door with a little poke. Supposed to get you mad. Get you frustrated. Get you upset. Amen. Poke you a little bit. Or maybe get you into fear. Going to tell you, hey, you're going under. Oh, this thing's going to kill you. Yep, it's getting worse. And you're never going to see light of day. And you're going under because you don't have enough money. You've never had enough money. You're not ever going to get enough money. There is no hope for you because you're special. Well, he always says that. And what you do with that is going to be determined whether or not you overcome the test or not. Don't let them in. Just say, shut up, get away in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? We're not going to be surprised. We're not going to be shocked. We're not going to be bewildered. We're going to prepare ourselves, right? Prepared, right? Prepared for these things. We're going to make sure that our sword is what? Sharp. That our sword is sharp. That our shield is up. Amen? Praise God that we're prepared. We're not going out with just a helmet on now. Right? We're going out in the whole armor of God, right? Ready to do battle at any time. When the enemy comes, we're ready, right? Isn't that right? Ready at any time. Even if it's in the middle of the night. Or if it's in the middle of a TV show. Or if it's in the middle of the morning. Do your coffee. Whatever it is, we're going to be prepared and ready, right? Not going to be shocked, not going to be surprised, not going to be upset, not going to be bewildered, not going to freak out. Amen? We're ready and prepared, right? Amen. Praise God. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for your great word. Thank you, Father God, for enlightenment. Thank you, Father, for revelation. Thank you, Father God, for instruction. Thank you for all the help. Father, thank you. Father, just forgive us for all the times we've missed it. Thank you, Father, that your forgiveness is and mercy is everlasting. Thank you, Lord God. And so, Father, we ask you to help us now. You taught us. Now we ask you to help us, make us to understand these things so we can walk in them, Father God. Our desire is to walk in your ways. Our desire is to walk in the Word. Our desire is to walk in the Spirit. Our desire is to be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. So we ask you for your help. And we thank you for the help you gave us today. We appreciate it. We give you all the glory and all the praise now and forever.
We trust that this message has ministered to you. For the rest of this series, as well as other inspirational messages by Reverend Slide Moran, please visit our website at www.biblecities.com.